Great, thank you.
All right, thank you.
So now we're going to move on, and maybe we'll, if we have time, we can come back to the camping report, but let's do elk contingency licenses, if you're ready to go, and then at some point, you have the resolutions that we, can we do those now? Have you got them ready? Let's do those, and then. Thanks. All right, so Resolution 19-24 addresses the petition to create a separate muzzleloader antelope season, which I believe the commission did not want to accept. So we need a motion now to adopt Resolution 19-24.
Second.
Any discussion on that? If not, all in favor of Resolution 19-24, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. And we get to Resolution 19-25, which is the trap identification resolution. So we need a motion to approve Resolution 19-25.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor of Resolution 19-25, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So that passes. Thank you. So now we can go to elk contingency licenses. Which shouldn't take very long, huh? Well, yeah.
Not with Andy.
Does Andy have to talk?
Mr. Chair, Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator here, along with Andy Lindblom, our senior big game biologist. So just have a short update to give to you. Obviously, if you remember from the elk management plan, within there we do have a segment on elk contingency licenses to address the lack thereof or greater supply of forage within the Black Hills. That was an important step within the planning process to come up with that population objective that we're managing elk for. So I'm going to let Andy take the lead on this discussion. Andy and other staff have developed a great working relationship with the U.S. Forest Service and our USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service staff, and they evaluate a lot of this quantitative data and help us out with recommendations here.
Thanks, Chad. Good morning. Andy Lindblom here, senior big game biologist. Chad gave a nice background there on our contingency licenses, just to provide some specifics on the actual rule that the commission promulgated after the development of our elk management plan. The rule allows for an allocation of a pool of antlerless elk contingency licenses, and this pool can be up to 20% of the current number of antlerless elk licenses in the entire Black Hills. And the commission could, by resolution, issue those licenses if summer range conditions dictated an adjustment in the harvest strategies was needed. So this is something we look at every year, and just a little bit on how we make the decision on what we bring forward to you as a recommendation. We meet 2 to 3 times a year with the Forest Service and USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS. And we lay this out in the plan, the process that we go through. We usually have a winter meeting, a summer meeting, usually a field trip where we go out and look at certain sites that the Forest Service wants to discuss in further detail. And then we meet here in late August, and we just met last week with both the Forest Service and the NRCS. So at that meeting, the Forest Service provides us an overview and a summary of what their field staff are telling them for summer range conditions. These are field staff that are managing the livestock grazing on the public lands, and so we get a good overview and a summary of what the conditions were by the end of the summer. And then NRCS produces an actual forage production estimate for us. They use a precipitation-based model to estimate the impacts of drought, and they do this across the state. I'm sure some of you have seen this. But they've been a great cooperator in this process, and they've actually customized that model to the Black Hills and actually all the way down to our elk units so that we get an estimate of forage production in our elk units. So we take that estimate of forage production, we put it in our sort table, as I'm sure some of you remember. This allows us to look at forage production, allows us to evaluate our actual objectives in those units, and then come up with an estimate of contingency licenses based on those two values and the current allocation of licenses in each one of our units. So a little bit about the results of our meeting this year and the estimates of forage production. I do believe in your commission booklet you have a map of the Black Hills elk units that has an estimate of, that shows forage production across the hills. Of course, the map is all green. As I'm sure is no surprise to most of you, we've had a lot of nice precipitation this year. Actual forage estimates across the forest in our units range from 121% to 155% above normal. So really good production out there. But there are a few buts to this. This is a forage-based or a precipitation-based model. The only inputs going into the model are precipitation. And based on our meeting last week and discussions with the Forest Service, they've actually believe or they report that some forage production was negatively impacted at higher elevations. And these are areas that where we got some late May snows, these decreased soil temperatures, more clouds, less sun, and in general just cool, wet weather actually had a negative impact on growth. And there are some allotments in the northern hills where there was a delay in turning cattle out on those allotments. And some of those similar allotments there, they may consider pulling them off early. A lot of that it remains to be seen on what we get for weather here this fall. And if we keep getting some of these nice, warm, sunny days again, that's really going to help that situation out. So these allotments are in our units, elk units 1, the northern half of 2, and also in 7. And because the NRCS model is based on precipitation, we don't really have a way to estimate what the decreased forage production is in these allotments that the Forest Service reports. But they did get together with the NRCS and basically manually manipulated forage production in these allotments that they report. And then the NRCS re-ran the model for us for each one of our units. And the bottom line is, even when you consider those allotments that may have some less forage production, you look at the average across our units, we're still above 100% in all of our elk units. So that's the good news. And if you recall back to our decision support table, anything above 90%, we would not recommend elk contingency licenses. So that is where we are today with the recommendation of no licenses.
Thank you. Just a little more history. I mean, that we in the department do pay close attention to these contingency licenses. In fact, it's the reason that we switched meeting from August to September, right? In large part, so we had more time to come up with these recommendations. So do you need a motion or anything, or is it just a report?
No, I think it's just a report and update on where we're at with this. So
great. Thank you very much.